It's Fire Away Friday.
Fire Away Friday.
On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question. You can email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Exploring the Word.
It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
In the show Exploring the Word, Bert Harper and I, part of our intent, our purpose, is that we and listeners would understand what the Bible really says about God and life and go over verses that need a little bit of explanation. But we want people to strengthen and grow their relationship with Jesus Christ. These are some of our purposes. But you know what? They're also the purposes of our books. And I was looking at the second book Bert and I did, 100 Bible Questions and Answers for Families. And Bert, you know, I don't want to say proud or pride, because, you know, pride is a sin, but I'm very thankful to the Lord that we've been able to do this show and that God's allowed us to write books, because whenever people are getting the Scripture, they're getting God's Word integrated into their heart and life. Well, that's our purpose, and that's our calling, because the Word of God points us to Jesus, the Son of God, and we just want to lift Him up, and we hope the shows and the books do that, don't we?
We really do, and Alex, you said it well. That's our purpose. We want the people to know our God, and the way you know our God is through His Word and then applying that Word to our lives. And we see God do amazing things when this happens, and that's what the two books are about, really, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. And we're doing this on Fire Away Friday, and we're not taking phone calls today. We're just using questions from these two books so that we can let you know it's a practical book. If you wanted to purchase it, it's a good book to have, study book individually. Even for groups, it's been used. And this particular month on the stand, that's the AFA Journal, on the front page, it's talking about our exhausted pulpits, and that's practical too. I'm quoted in here one or two times about pastors and burnout, quote, and what they're doing. But on the inside of the front page are the two books that are being promoted by AFA Resource Center, and that's resources at afa.net, resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net, and you can purchase one or both of these books. And it also, you can get the stand. You can try it out for 6 months free. And so this is a multi-purposed Fire Away Friday to answer questions that's been asked, but also to promote the stand, which is the official journal of American Family Association, American Family Radio, and also to let you know about the AFA Resource Center that has more than just these books. They've got a lot of helps there that would help people, and then our two books that are available as well. So, Alex, this is an opportunity we want to take, and we're busy this Friday when you're listening to this. One of us are doing something, going somewhere. And I had to admit, sometimes it's Bert and his grandchildren. And I have to take time out for that because, listen, nothing like them. But, Alex, I've got some questions, and I'll ask them, and then we'll take the opportunity, and you'll answer. But if I need to add anything or feel like I need to, or you ask me something, we'll do it that way. Does that sound all right to you?
That sounds really good. And, you know, before we delve into the questions, let me say just a word about the May 2024 issue of The Stand, the AFA magazine. You know, these come to our house every month, and they're all great, and they always have incredible content and just really first-class journalism. But this one in May of 24, and the cover story says, "Our Exhausted Pulpits, Why Are So Many Leaving the Pastorate and What Can We Do to Help?" This is just an exceptional issue. It really is. And, you know, when you and I were back in Tennessee earlier this year at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, I was on the radio with George Barna. I'm sure most everybody's heard of the Barna Research organization, very trusted poll watchers, and they monitor social trends. And George Barna, wonderful Christian thinker, but he was saying that right now in America, maybe 75,000 churches don't have a senior pastor. So let me just, part of the reason I bring this up, we need to pray for the church in America. We need to pray for revival, obviously. But if you've got a pastor, and I've pastored, you've pastored, there's no perfect pastors. There's only our perfect Savior. But thank the Lord for your preacher, and pray for him and pray for his family. And I know preachers can, they do a lot of good, and every now and then they'll do, you know, make a misstep or forget somebody's birthday. And I've had so many people tell me that, oh, the pastor hurt my feelings or something like that. Well, show some grace and lift them up in prayer, because this thing of churches without a senior pastor and churches that are really struggling, it's a very serious issue, isn't it?
It really is. That's the reason Jan and I do the Fishbowl Retreats each year. AFA does this, sponsors this. Jan and I knew this, and we started it years and years ago. And when we came to AFA, they asked us to continue doing it and expand it, and we have. And so this year it's going to be in October, and you can go to repairingthefoundations.net. And you can find out that information, and you can know how to register. And we are ready to register. It's going to be in beautiful Pickwick Landing State Park up in Tennessee. And it's centrally located for a lot of our listeners. And if you want to do something for your pastor, ask him. Don't just surprise him and say, we got it. Because if you do that, it might not work out for them to come. But offer this to them and see if they can come. And Jan and I pour our lives into them. This year, Ray Pritchard is going to be speaking, and he'll pour his, the Word of God, into them. And so this will help. So anyway, yes, pastors, pray for them, help them, strengthen them. Let them know you're in their corner. That's yes. So good. So, Alex, let's get started with the first question. And this is from our first book. And if you're looking on stream, live stream, you can see it here. This is the first book that we did. And the question out of it is one I wanted to ask first, and it's from the first section. Why do Christians say the Bible is God's Word, and how can we know it's God's Word, Alex?
Oh, wow. Well, that's a great, great question. You know, the short answer is going to sound a little simplistic, but it really is profound. We believe the Bible is the Word of God because Jesus Christ, the only man that ever raised from the dead, affirmed the divine origin of all Scripture. So the short answer, because Jesus said so and he was raised from the dead. I mean, you think about that, Bert. No critic or skeptic can match Jesus's credentials. I mean, here's Jesus, virgin born, sinless life, did miracles, rose from the dead. I mean, no one can eclipse the pedigree of Christ Jesus. And Jesus repeatedly, over and over, affirmed the authenticity and the authority of Scripture. But really, on some other levels, the Bible has characteristics unlike any other book. The Bible has exhibited amazing indestructibility. They've tried to stamp it out. They've tried to ban it. The Bible is just indestructible. And we have thousands and thousands of manuscripts that corroborate the content has been preserved. So let me give you these letters. Indestructible, historically accurate, scientifically accurate, prophetically accurate, amazing worldwide influence, amazing power to change lives, and then finally, amazing unparalleled circulation. I mean, so the
Bible...
It's
still the best-selling book, right?
Of all time.
Yeah.
Of all time. It really is. And so it's indestructible. It's historically accurate. And, you know, way before archaeology existed as a science, you know, really the discipline of archaeology is fairly young, only about 200 years or less. And yet cities and people and governments and leaders and historical circumstances that at one time were assumed to be just maybe ancient legends or something. Well, as one writer said, two guys I'm going to mention, William F. Albright, who's been called the dean of archaeologists, and then another man named Nelson Gleck. They said, with every turn of the archaeologist's spade, another page of scripture has been confirmed. And so historical accuracy, scientific accuracy, centuries before the invention of the submarine, the Bible says at the bottom of the oceans are mountains and valleys. And really, the Mariana Trench, which is the lowest part of Earth, this deep, deep, deep valley at the bottom of the ocean, well, the Bible predicted that. How could the biblical writer have known there were valleys at the bottom of the ocean? You know, I think about the circle of the Earth, the spherical nature of the planet. The Bible is scientifically accurate. Bert, let me say another thing, too, just to... And I don't mean to belabor this, but this is such an important subject.
That's where we start, isn't it? Really, this is the starting places. Yes.
Do you know the Jewish male babies were to be circumcised on the eighth day?
Yeah.
Why the eighth day? Well, the clotting factor of a boy baby's blood, if I can use a word, the clottiest, an infant male blood will ever be in their entire lives is on the eighth day after delivery. Isn't that amazing that the Israelites are in the desert, they are to circumcise the male babies, and that would be the day that healing would most effectively, efficiently take place. And the Bible, oh my goodness, and this is where there is no other book in the world that you can compare, and that's the Bible's prophetic accuracy.
And when you hear this and know this, this is why this is in the first book. It's in the first section, one of the first questions. And you can find answers like that in this book. And that's why we're not trying to self-promote it. But it is good. If you want, I would say if you want to explore in the Word in writing, you got it in these two books. Here's the next question. We may not have time to finish it in this first segment. But this, we hear... How could God do? You know, we hear that quite a bit. Mm. How could God be God and this happen? So here's the one that I wanted to ask. How could God permit the death of the Achan's entire family for his sin? This is in Joshua chapter 7. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, let me say this. Sin has repercussions, doesn't it? You know, there's this whole saying that no man lives unto himself. And as, you know, writers have said, no man is an island. And so when Achan sinned and he, you know, disobeyed something that God had been very clear about, I mean, this gives us all pause to think that sin has repercussions. And just let me say this for a second, Bert, that, you know, you and I have lived in a time when a lot of preachers have fallen morally. And I want to tell you, I have talked with so many people that had a faith crisis or maybe even abandoned Christianity because of the moral failures of some minister that they trusted. And so, for one thing, it shows that there's a ripple effect to sin, doesn't it?
It really does. And here, he was hiding it. Let me just be very practical in this. He was hiding it in his tent. Yep. The awareness of what was going on was real. And also, a group of followers had already been killed at Ai. And as you said, sin has repercussions. And so Achan's family, yes, they were a part of it. And yes, God is that God that loves but also is just. We'll be back with more right after this break. Don't go away.
A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
As we go, let us make disciples. As we go, let us tell the world of Christ.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Alex here, and we love that introduction of that song because this is exactly what Exploring the Word wants to do. We want to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ and people following Him. And we're praying that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that you know Him as Savior and Lord. And that's part of what we do here on American Family Radio and especially on Exploring the Word. Well, today is Fire Away Friday, but we're not taking calls today. This is a pre-recorded program, and it's a kind of a special pre-recorded program. We're taking questions from our two books that Alex and Bert we've got out, and it's in the Resource Center at American Family Radio, and it's questions that we've taken from them. But these questions in the books are questions we got from you guys who've called in and asked them. So we're doing that today, and we're hoping that it'll be a blessing to you. And if you would like Exploring the Word in print, this is where you find it. You find it in these two books that you can go to, and you can purchase them if you would want to, and you can go to resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net, and you can get them there, and I know they'd be a blessing to you and to others. Well, Alex, here's another question that's coming from book number one. How can anyone know what Christ is like? How can anyone know what God is like?
Well, because He has shown us. You know, in fact, 2 Peter chapter 1, 19 through 21, which I love, and I encourage people to read that, but it says that we have, quote, a sure word of prophecy. In other words, God has in dependable, clear, absolutely trustworthy terms, God has shown us who He is and how we can know Him. And in the Bible, we learn about God's identity. We learn about God's eternality. We learn about His attributes, that He is a God of love and grace. He's also a God of righteousness and justice and, yes, judgment. And, yes, every human being in the world will be evaluated, not in light of how good we were compared to this person or that person, but how did we measure up in comparison with Jesus? And the fact is, you know, Bert, I've had people say to me, they'll say, you know, well, I'm a pretty good person. And I'll say, are you perfect? Well, no, I'm not perfect, but Jesus was. And to go to heaven, we have to be as holy as Jesus. In other words, righteous, which we aren't. But the way we get right with God and we are declared righteous in His sight, we put our faith in Jesus. And as A.W. Tozer said 60 years ago, we go to heaven on the merits of somebody else, on the worthiness of Jesus. But to your question, Bert, and the one that's in our book, we know what the Lord is like because of what He has revealed about Himself. You know, in fact, we use the word revelation, divine revelation. The Bible tells us who God is, what He's like, and how we can know Him personally.
Which apostle asked Him, we would see the Father. And Jesus responded, have I not been so long with you that when you have seen me, you have seen the Father? So, Alex, when we see Jesus in the Word of God, we see Him. We say, the Old Testament, New Testament, so much different. No, they're not that different as much as you think. Let me say, I think Jesus overturned the tables in the temple 2 times at least. And so He demonstrated some of that, what we call justice, holiness of God. Now, again, the Old Testament is heavy in the justness of God. The New Testament is heavier in the love of God, but the holiness of God and love of God, if you're picking two moral attributes to demonstrate who God is and what He's like, those are the ones you must concentrate on. And out of that love and out of that holiness comes God's mercy, His grace, but also His justice. And so God is, and you can know Him. That's one of the best phrases I've ever heard. Yes, God is, and you can know Him. So we hope go ahead, Alex.
And let me mention, you quoted the John 14:9. And by the way, we learn so much about God through the Apostle John. And, in John 14:8-9, Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." But here's the thing. In 1 John chapter 1, it says that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all.
Amen.
And people have false ideas. I've talked with people that believe in Eastern thought, like the yin and the yang. You ever seen that symbol? It's like a circle with a squiggly line through the middle. And I've dialogued with people, and they think, good and evil are forever entwined in some cosmic dance. No, that's false. Listen, part of God's eternality, the fact that God is forever, eternal, is because in God is no sin or darkness or death. See, the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. In other words, part of the result of sin and iniquity and unrighteousness, call it what you will, darkness, disobedience, sin, iniquity, unrighteousness, well, that's death. And part of the reason that God exists forever is because He is perfectly righteous. Amen. There's no evil in God, is there?
There is. I wrote down, there's no dark side to God.
Amen.
We talk about the dark side, the inner, no dark side to God.
Well, forgive me, and I got to throw this in, and then I'll get out of the way. Sorry.
There's so much to these answers. Let me tell you, in the book, they're more concise. When we get on the radio, we want to, I thought of this, I thought of that. But we were limited in our answers in the book for a space. Well, go ahead, Alex.
Well, it's almost a universal trait among children to be afraid of the dark, some things that are common to all children, for one thing, even little infants have an awareness of depth. There's depth perception, and they've done tests where children will crawl like a piece of glass, but when they come to what appears to be a deep valley, they'll stop. Children they're very aware of height and depth, but children are also aware of darkness and light. Children don't like the dark. And the Bible says that when we know Jesus, we are walking in the light. One of the beauties of heaven and one of the great realities of this world too is that we are in the love and the light of God. To know the Bible, it's called enlightenment. We know who God is. We know who we are. We know about our relationship. And so I think, Bert, one of the great attributes of the Lord is that the Bible says God is light, L-I-G-H-T.
Amen. Praise God. Again, we're talking about answers that you have asked, and they're printed in our book. And one of them was about the third person of the Godhead. We've talked about God the Father. We've talked about Jesus. But now I want to ask you this. What does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit? And who is the Holy Spirit?
Wow. Isn't that something that God is said to feel and have emotions? The Bible says God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And you mentioned Ephesians 4:30, that we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. God loves us so much. And I think, yes, God is disappointed when we sin, you know? Now, the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, indwells the believer. And you know what? Every human that ever lived and every human that's living now, the Lord has interacted with. God calls, God influences. He doesn't override our free will. But I think that God, through His Holy Spirit, He convicts people of sin. In other words, and I've said this many times, you and I have talked about this on the show, but look, there's the world, the flesh, and the devil, right? So if you're feeling like you need to turn to God, you feel bad about your sin, you're aware of your guilt, and you want to get right with God, well, it's not the world, the flesh, or the devil. If you're desiring God, it's the Holy Spirit calling you. That's why we need to respond, isn't it, Bert?
It really is. And Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and He'll dwell in you, the indwelling. Now, let me say this. How do you grieve Him? By letting things, sin, into your life, and then letting sin remain in your life. When God convicts you of sin as a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to confess it or justify it. And we're good justifiers. Well, I wouldn't have this attitude if they'd have treated me right. I wouldn't have said those angry words if I hadn't have heard them talking about me. No, don't justify your sin. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God, but confess it. It means agree with or say the same thing as God. And I want to tell you, it's a cleansing. And listen, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't let sin remain. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, because the longer sin stays in your life, the greater damage it does into your life. So being grieved with the Holy Spirit is such a blessing, Alex, to feel that pain, that real guilt, not false guilt that Satan uses, but that real guilt when you know you said the wrong thing, done the wrong thing, thought the wrong thing, and so do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, here's the fifth question we have, and again, this is from the first book. What does it mean that the gospel is for the Jew first and then the Gentiles?
Wow. Well, great, great question. Jesus was Jewish. Jesus was born into the nation of Israel. By the way, did you ever see this wonderful little book? It's not a large book, but it was by a born-again Jewish man named Arnold Fruchtenbaum. Jesus was a Jew. Did you ever see that
little
book?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Great. And so let me say this. In terms of chronology and in terms of really beginning, Jesus came to the Jewish nation. He was Jewish. The first people to know about the resurrection were Jewish people. The first born-again believers were Jewish people. And then, you know, it's interesting that God raised up the Apostle Paul and the gospel went to the Gentile nations. But it's in the book of Isaiah, it talks about that the Redeemer of Israel is the light to the Gentiles. Now, the verse there, Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greeks or to the Gentiles. So, you know, everybody can be saved through faith in Christ, but Jesus first came into the Jewish nation and Christ was preached first to the Jewish people.
They were. And let me say this. You remember that Jesus is the firstborn. The firstborn made it possible for there to be those that would be born after, you know? And so Christ, being that one, has paved the path as a Jew to the Jew first, yes. It's hard for me to go away from this question without the calling is always missional. It was missional for Abraham. Through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And that is so true. And it started where? First with Jews, with Abraham. And it goes on down. And then the church, the birth of the church took place at Pentecost. You know, that was the delivery where the Holy Spirit came and fell on these Jewish people. And then where would they go? They came in the fullness of time. And that means all over the Roman Empire that these Jewish people who had experienced the new birth and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit went back to their places, and they would share the good news. And then the Apostle Paul would follow up out of Antioch, he and Barnabas, and then he and Silas, and do the tours through so much of the empire. And what did the apostles do, Alex? Those 12 apostles who were Jews, man, we know Thomas went to India. We know Matthew went to central part of Africa. We know that they went all over to the Jew first, but it wasn't something they were to keep to themselves. They were to share it to others. And now that it's been given to us, Alex, what are we to do?
Share it with everybody.
Amen.
And you know how God told Abraham in Genesis 12 and Genesis 18, God told Abraham that I'm going to make of you a great nation, and in you all the families of the earth would be blessed. And of course, you know, the Savior of the world came into the Jewish nation, Jesus. But also this, Bert, and I was preparing for an interview I did earlier today, but think about this. The law of Moses, unto the Jews were committed the oracles of God, you know, the Bible says, the revelation of God. And there was the Old Testament and then the New Testament. But even before the completion of the Old Testament, there were the five books of Moses. That's very often called the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And all of the civil nations of the world that have moral law, it all comes from the Ten Commandments. And I mean, and I'm not just saying this as a Christian, although I'm a Christian, but I read a lot of legal books, and you know, just secular law schools where you can go to study law, they will tell you that the foundation of human law and government is the Decalogue, the law of Moses.
Is that one reason it's at the Supreme Court, Alex?
Yeah, exactly.
It is.
You see pictures of Moses holding the tablets.
Yeah, and used to, they'd have Ten Commandments posted just about in every school building in America. It is Exploring the Word, and you're enjoying this. We pray that God would bless you. If we've learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she'll choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has 4-star charity ratings. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
Now, back to the Bible study. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert here. So honored that you're listening. We're not live today. This is pre-recorded because Bert and I are each traveling, but we're going over questions that are in our books, 100 Bible Questions and Answers. Then we did a second book. The first book came out about 3 or 4 years ago, and then The second book came out about a year ago, 100 Bible Questions and Answers for Families. And, you know, Bert, I know we're going to resume, but we got the May 24 AFA Journal. And right in the front cover, and oh my goodness, what an honor. I cannot tell you how humbled I was. What an honor. There's a ad for our books right in the inside front cover. And by the way, the website is resources.afa.net. And we would be very honored if you would check these out. And it's like pocket-sized almost. I mean, I guess if you got a big pocket, but you've got Exploring the Word that you can carry with you, you know?
Yeah, and you do. So, Alex, I want to read this. I'm looking for humor, always do. But in the first book, it says in the cover here, in 100 Bible Questions and Answers, Alex and McFarlane and Bert Harper, veteran co-host of Exploring the Word. You know what that means? Old guys.
What? Yes, exactly.
Veteran.
Exactly.
No, we've been at this. This is 12 years that we've been able to do this, going on 13 really now. And yeah. Alex and I were talking. We had never met until we did the first program on the radio. We met through radio. That's how most folks know us. We know you through mm-hmm. radio. Well, that's how Alex and I got to know one another, and it's been a joy to do so. And so anyway, you can get these books if you want them. As I say, it's like having Exploring the Word in print. And you can go to resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net, and you can order them if you would want to, or give them away, or however you'd want to use them. Well, Alex, go ahead.
You know, God is so good. Those that have listened for a long time know that we started out with a dear, dear brother named Marvin Sanders. And he, I guess Don Wildman hired Marvin.
That's right. He did. Yes, he did. Well, for our first station, we're now a network, but at one time we were one station in Tupelo, Mississippi, and that's when Marvin came on board.
Well, you know, I'd been in the ministry a long time and really prayed about, you know, trying to be on the radio. And then I met Tim Wildman and Jim Stanley. And so I was thrilled, you know, when we started doing Exploring the Word, Marvin and I was thrilled. And when he, you know, it became evident that he, you know, was sick and was not going to survive, you know, I was sad that he was ill. But I was also sad because I thought, man, we got something great here. And what's going to happen to Exploring the Word? And then you begin to fill in. And Angie asked me, said, who's taking Marvin's place? And I said, well, there's a guy, he's a pastor. His name is Bert Harper. And I said, I really like him. And maybe we can keep it going. And even after Marvin dies, and of course, it was an honor. I got to say a word at Marvin's funeral, and Tim Wildman spoke. And I just give God the glory because, you know, initiating this show and then growing it, and it seems to be mightily used by God, and we give Jesus all the glory. But only the Lord could have put this together. Would you agree?
I agree. It's of God, and we want to be faithful. It is counted unto stewards to be faithful. That sounds like a word about Don Wildman. He said, you may not can do anything, but you can be faithful, and that's what we want Amen. To do. Faithful to the Word of God, to declare the glory of God. Alex, I'm holding up the second book, and these questions I've got now are coming out of that book, 100
the
Questions.
Blue Book.
Yeah, Questions and Answers for Families, better known, as you said, the Blue Book. We got the brown book and the blue book. I wonder if we'll get the green book. Well, we'll see. Hey, it could be red. We could have a contest. What color do you want the third book to be? But no, we'll wait on that one. Okay, here's a question from the Blue Book. And you were talking about the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And so this comes out a question from that book particularly. How could Moses have written the book of Deuteronomy if he records his own death?
Good question. That's a fair question, you know. Moses died, wasn't it Moab? Didn't he die in Moab?
I believe you're right, so. Yeah. On Mount Pisgah, I know that, Mount Pisgah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's a Mount Pisgah church not far from where I'm sitting right now. But at any rate, God told Moses that he would not be able to lead the children of Israel all the way into the Promised Land because he disobeyed God. He saw the promised land from a distance. But after Moses died, Joshua led Israel. But here's the thing. Deuteronomy was written near the end of Moses' life, and it's very likely that Joshua, as Moses' successor, wrote the account of Moses' death. Some ancient Jewish scholars thought that maybe Deuteronomy 34 was written by Ezra, or somebody else that had served under Moses. But we often say Moses wrote the Pentateuch, which is true, but just like not all the Proverbs were written by Solomon, some were written by Lemuel. Well, not all of the Pentateuch was written by Moses. It was either Joshua or Ezra or maybe some other Jewish person that we don't know, but that Deuteronomy 34. Now, there have been, let me just say this, and I know we'll move on. Some have said, and I know that this theory, I think, is in Gleason Archer's book of Bible difficulties, maybe God gave it and Moses prophetically wrote it ahead of time, but I don't think so. I think it was probably some successor, maybe Joshua himself.
And that's consistent. Have you noticed how God hands things off a lot of times? Okay, yes, you had Moses, but guess who he had coming after him? Joshua. God had the great prophet Elijah, but guess who was waiting there right after? Elisha, John the Baptist. He said, no person has been greater born than John the Baptist, but right after John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus. And so, Alex, I think someone finishing that would be consistent with the way God operates. You understand what I'm... Okay.
Amen.
Okay.
Well said.
Well, here's another one, and I wanted people to... This question shows you that this both books have some practicality to it. It's not just telling you Bible questions and then answers or archaeology or history, but also practicality. And this one was one I was really... I think it's an important one, and I hope that you will listen carefully. And I'm not trying to just sell books, but it would be worth paying for the book just to get the answer of this question. Here it is. How do I overcome a bad habit or sin in my life?
Wow, good question. Let me say, keep at it, you know.
Don't give up. Keep going, yeah.
You know, somebody once said that we should be satisfied with the things we have, but not satisfied with the person we are. And very often we get it the other way around. We become satisfied with who we are in terms of our character, but we're unsatisfied with the things we have. We crave more. Bert, I truly think that one of the ways is to remember that as a Christian, if you're a believer, you're not an owner, but a steward. You know, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, Paul says that we are not our own. And we let the Spirit of God convict us and open our eyes. And I hope nobody is living in overt sin. But even there are things, and I'll tell you somebody that I love that was really big about this was John Wesley, that we need to ask, you know, is God pleased with our habits? Because, you know, do you remember that old saying, sow a thought, reap a deed, sow a deed, reap a habit, and sow a habit and reap a destiny.
That's it.
And these things that are not ideal, that can really migrate into sin. I mean, any Christian, if you're not just vigilant over your heart and soul, and how you spend your time. And let me say one last thing, and I want to throw it to you. And I know you as a pastor for many years, God has used you so much. And I just want to say I respect you so much. I've been, ministering alongside you for 12 years now. And folks, let me tell you, Bert Harper is an exemplary Christian man. He really is. But haven't you seen tendencies which become habits, which becomes sin, very often it starts in the emotions, doesn't it, Bert? Whether it be envy or unforgiveness or just, you know, holding a grudge against somebody or not being grateful. How we steward our emotions, that could be a gateway for bad habits and even sin, couldn't it?
It really is, Alex, and you did a good job of explaining that. Just let me say one or two things. One, God saved us from our sin, not to continue in sin. Just remember that. Listen, we all have besetting sins. Not anybody's exempt from that. And you know, if you have a habit or a favorite thing you do, it's harder to break, but you can. He's the chain breaker. That's the reason I love the song that Zach Williams wrote and sang. He's the chain breaker. He really is. And you don't have to be held in. You can hold sin and Satan in check through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing I would say, get as far away from that sin, not close to it. Now, you know, if we're not careful, well, I don't want to sin, but we're going to go to this place that you know that you're going to be drawn aside. You know good and well you do not need to watch this because you want to. You want to get as close to it, but no, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and do not touch the unclean thing. In other words, you separate. There's got to be a separation between you and that sin, and it needs to be one that you fight all the time. Another thing is you guard your heart. Be careful what you let in. Guard your heart with all diligence, not carelessly, but guard your heart with what? About your senses, what you see, what you hear. Let me just say, what you taste. We don't talk much about gluttony, but I want to tell you, we need to be disciplined in all the areas, and I'm better in some than I am others, Alex. Mm-hmm. And then the bottom line of all sin is pride. It really is. No matter if it's jealousy, bitterness, we think, well, I don't deserve this. I wouldn't do this if they hadn't have done this to me. And that's still the bottom of its pride. It was the first sin that we know was committed in heaven when Lucifer wanted to be like the Most High and have his throne equal or above. And so how do I overcome bad habits or sin in my life? Listen, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Have you heard mm-hmm. that old saying? The sin will keep you from this word, or this word will keep you from sin. Put yes. the Word of God in your heart. Alex, you're one of the greatest resources I've ever had the privilege of working with in memorizing Scripture and know where it is. I'll quote a Scripture, and then the next thing I know, Alex said, yeah, that's in Ephesians. And I appreciate that so much. Now, it takes work to do what it does for all, but some can do it better. But here's the last question. I know you can't. You take that, and I praise God for you, brother. But here's a question that's in the last book, and it's real important, maybe the most important question in the two books. How can I know Jesus through and have salvation?
Wow. Great, great question. Well, folks, you can know Jesus by putting your faith in him. And what does that mean? Well, the Greek word for faith, we often say belief. I believe in Jesus, but it fundamentally means trust, to trust Jesus, and not just to know the Lord in an intellectual sense. You know, Bert, we've often talked about James 2 verse 19 says the devils believe yet tremble. Now, if you ask Satan, even the devil himself, did you know Jesus was born of a virgin? Did you know Jesus is the sinless Son of God? Did you know Jesus rose from the dead? Did you know Jesus is coming back? Even the devil could say, yes, I'm aware of that. And of course, he's not saved. So it's not just mental assent to a fact, but it's a personal encounter, a personal relationship. And when we say trust Jesus, first of all, you need to trust what he says about your condition. And God loves you. Oh my goodness, does God love you? He does. But Jesus says, until you're born again, you're in sin. And Bert, I think one of the starting points for a relationship with Jesus is to accept what Christ says about our condition. And so, do you admit you're a sinner? Do you admit who Jesus said he was? You've got to believe what Jesus claimed about himself. And he said he was the one and only way to the Father. He said that he would give his life for our salvation. And then you appropriate that to yourself by praying. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do you do that? Even right now, folks, Jesus is as close by as a prayer. Say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I know you died for me. Come into my life. Save me. And Bert, no matter who it is, if they'll call out to Jesus today, they can be saved this very day.
Amen. The main purpose of these two books is so people can know God and be saved. I'm holding them in my hands, 100 answers and questions, questions and answers. And we have them, and you can get them at resources.afa.net, and it can be a blessing to you and your family. Alex, it's been fun. Thank you, brother.
Amen. Thanks for listening to Exploring the Word, everybody. Tell somebody about Exploring the Word, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.